The Mentor Moment is a bi-weekly podcast designed specifically for Tennessee Achieve's mentors. Hosted by Tennessee Achieve's Director of Mentors, Tyler Ford, each episode will feature tips, best practices, and program updates meant to enhance your mentoring experience. This week's episode features audio from a webinar that we hosted back in February when we kicked off the 2024 Mentor Program. While you'll notice that some of this audio is a little bit out of date because all of you have received your students at this point, we still think this audio is really helpful and makes a great podcast episode. Without further ado, we'll kick it off with Tyler having a conversation about working with your students in 2024. As always, let us know if you have any questions and connect with us on social media at TN Achieves on all social media platforms.
I want to jump feet first into a conversation with Ben about mentoring and about some of these best practices that you'll find in your initial work with students. Just to catch everyone up, you should now have your student list or be within 1 week of receiving your student list. As you know, you attended your in-person meeting, watched that webinar. We've been sharing student lists weekly. And like I said, if you just had a meeting last week, you can expect to see that this week. And so now it's time to actually start reaching out and actually start connecting with students. And that's where I want to talk with Ben about what works well when it comes to communicating with students and how you can navigate your initial outreach. And one of the first things I want to ask you, Ben, is mentors are going to get a student list with a ton of contact information in it. It's going to have parent contact information, student contact information, and it might feel overwhelming. It might feel tricky to figure out where to start. What's your best recommendation
there? Yeah, so I know a lot of mentors that are participating with us this year are this is their first time to do it. And so that first student list email can be a little bit overwhelming to your point. Not only is there a lot of contact information and a lot of kind of details and demographic information about their student or students, there's a lot of words that come before that. So my first piece of advice to all mentors, if you're new or returning, is to read that email. It's a lot. It's a long email. There's a lot in there and a lot to unpack. But to me, taking the time to read the details that are in there will oftentimes answer the questions that you're probably going to have if you were to just scroll to the bottom and look at your students. We try to answer all those questions on the front end and provide as much like context and clarification about what you're going to find once you start getting into that student list. So first, read the email, go through all of the details first. But then as far as that action, getting involved with your students, I would say the first thing that I would do is reach out to the parents via email. So just send them an email that says, hey, I'm Ben Sterling. I'm your student's Tennessee Achieves mentor. I recently attended a meeting at their high school, learned a lot about what the Tennessee Achieves program looks like. And I'm really just here to be an encourager and somebody that's going to be involved in this college process. Not that you have to have confirmation from the parents to begin working with students, but I think it's always kind of a courtesy to go ahead and reach out to the parents first, introduce yourself, and then from there, begin reaching out to your students. Email, not always the best method to reach out to students with. You can start there if you'd like. I probably would start there just because I want to check that box. But as we'll probably get into in a bit, texting them tends to be the most efficient way to get a hold of students. So start with reading the email, reach out to parents, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, and I want to highlight two things, and you touched on this, but you do not need to get a confirmation from the parents to start reaching out to your group. That is a best practice. We encourage you to keep students in the loop, or excuse me, keep parents in the loop. But if you don't hear back from the parent, that is okay. Start reaching out to their student because, you know, we want the students to get the information. We want to make sure you're communicating with them, and parents are, you know, information is provided to you so you can connect with them, but it is not a requirement as a mentor.
Yeah.
I think we kind of tiptoed up to this, but I do want to talk about that. They're going to get emails, going to get phone numbers. Should mentors rely on email or should they rely on texting or calling for that matter?
Yeah. This is always kind of the, it's always a question. It's always a concern. And to me, I wouldn't say one is always better than the other. You've got, to Tyler's point, you've got three ways to reach out to students: email, utilizing the email that they've provided, texting that cell phone number, or calling that cell phone number. primarily, I'd say 80% of students would prefer to be contacted via text message. If there's one thing that I'm learning about our most recent generation of students, it's the easiest kind of shallow end of the pool, if you will, to reach out via text message. It's a lot easier to get off. It's a lot less intimidating to them to reach out and be communicating with mentors via text. But I do think that if you can begin to get to a point with your students where a phone call is even a possibility, mm-hmm. and they're able and willing to pick up the phone when you call, that is a sweet spot, because then it's easier to confirm if you're going to meet up with them later on. And we'll talk about what that means. But text messages are great. But as we talk about with our coaches on our staff, phone calls can be a lot more meaningful because you're actually conversing and you're able to kind of escape the lack of context that often comes along with text messaging.
Well, and I think that the ideal cadence that you would get into as a mentor is, you're likely not going to be talking on the phone every week to your students.
Right.
But if you're having a phone conversation with them once a month, once every other month, mm-hmm. even with periodic text check-ins, yeah. like you are knocking it out of the park,
yeah.
and you are, I can say this pretty confidently, building what will be an incredibly meaningful and impactful relationship. And so I think texting is to Ben's point, going to be your most reliable yeah. form of communication, your most dependable starting off, but hopefully you're able to get some phone calls in there.
Texting is also the most efficient way to
yes.
communicate with your students. And we get a lot of questions about group texting mm-hmm. versus individualized texting. We've learned this as we've gone too. I wouldn't say that it's always been a perfect practice for us on our end. And even in terms of advice to mentors, that has changed. And the guidance has changed as we've learned over the years how best to communicate with students. I know there was a time where I would discourage group texting altogether. I don't even know that that's necessarily bad anymore. What I like to say to mentors now is when it comes to text messaging with your students, if you've got multiple, if you're going to send a group chat, that's a great way to get a reminder out. So if you're scheduling an event to meet up together at a coffee shop and you want everybody to meet together, it's a great way to send a reminder out about that. Or if you're reminding them about the FAFSA, it's a great way to just sort of do that routine maintenance of that relationship. But if you're looking for individual response or you're going to ask them a specific question, I encourage you to reach out to those students individually, because they are going to be more likely to respond with anything mm-hmm. to an individualized text, where I've come to learn that they're less likely to respond in that group chat format.
Yeah, it's true. I always like to, too, as we're having this conversation about what works best, make note, too, that you have their email addresses, and we are absolutely okay if you want to send them an email.
Sure.
Particularly if you've got, several things you want to touch on. It's too much for a text. Email's great.
An introduction is always, it's always good to start with an introduction in an email, because you can get more out.
And my best practice there is always text the student and their parent and let them know, hey, I sent mm-hmm. you an email. Because won't come as a surprise, 17 and 18 year olds, not great at checking their emails. But part of the work we have to do is get them in the habit of checking their emails, because it'll set them up for success in college.
That's true.
Nothing wrong as a mentor with sending them an email and saying, hey, check your email.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know of mentors that's how they do it.
I know.
They will, once they know they've got an accurate email for a student, which when you receive your student list, please know that whatever you receive from us this week or last week, that's what was reported to us by the student when they applied. And it's the most up-to-date contact information that we have. So that's not to say that it's right. Their email addresses can change. A lot of them provide their school email address and that kind of thing that they don't check, especially once they graduate. So we want them to utilize personal email mm-hmm. addresses. We ask for that on the application and all of that. But once you know you've got a good email address, then you can start utilizing a little longer format communication. But always, to Tyler's point, follow up with a reminder about the email. That's the text, is, hey, I emailed you this information. Go check that out and then come back to me if you have any questions, or confirm the receipt of that kind of thing. But I know mentors, that's their full cadence as a mentor.
Yeah. I think, you know, the takeaway here is you're the one serving these students, right? And you're getting to know them on a personal level. Ben and I can offer best practices, you know, reach out biweekly, all these things, but you will get to know these students and what works best. And we want you to feel empowered to act on that in how you communicate with your group. Ben, I'm going to throw you a bit of a curveball here. Notice a lot of questions in the chat about what happens when a student isn't responding. Mm-hmm. Several mentors on the call have had students for a month or two now, and they may find that they've texted a couple times or emailed a couple times and still aren't hearing anything. What's your recommendation there?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. This is easily the most answered question in the Tennessee Achieve universe from mentors' perspective. We always hear that students can be hard to reach, and they're high schoolers. Yep. They are hard to get a hold of. It's hard. They're hard for us to get a hold of. They're hard for their teachers to get a hold of. So if they were easy to get a hold of, they'd probably do all the things that we wanted them to do very quickly. So that's part of the challenge and the puzzle that is Tennessee Achieves. But I'll say there's a couple of things you can do. One, my first question to a mentor who is having a hard time getting a hold of their students is to lay out for me their methods. How have you been reaching out? Have you tried a text message? If you haven't, let's try that. Have you tried a phone call? If you haven't, try that. That's once we've sort of tried everything in our toolbox and it's still not working, I give it a little bit of time, try again in a week, 10 days or so. If at the end of the day you have tried and tried and tried, say you've tried three or four times and you just aren't getting anything back from them, and that's including parents.
Yep.
I gotta always include that. If you've reached out to students and you're not getting anything and you've yet to reach out to their parents, I think try the parents too, because they are oftentimes the ones that will then sort of spur their student on to begin working with you. But if after all of those efforts have gone without a response, reach out to us and we're happy to also try to ping that student and say, hey, we've heard from your mentor that they haven't heard from you, and we can try to help facilitate that as well. So we want you to have a fruitful experience with Tennessee Achieves and not hearing from your students and just sort of reaching out to them to no avail is it kind of runs counter to the changes that we've made to the program this year. And we haven't really talked about that, but we changed the Tennessee Achieves mentoring model entirely for this season, because over the years we've heard from so many mentors that it's challenging to get a hold of students. And I think a lot of times that was because we were pairing students with mentors who had never asked for a mentor before, and they didn't, it just wasn't something that they were interested in. So now all of the students that are paired with a mentor have said that they want to work with a mentor. And so to us, that should increase the likelihood that the students that you're working with are responsive and engaged in this process. So it is a bit disheartening for me to find that there are students that have said, I want to work with a mentor, but then aren't. On our end, we want to do everything that we can to make this experience positive.
Yeah. One thing I'll say there too, they are still 17 and 18 year olds. And I think that for many, they put their hand up after their meeting and they say yes to wanting a mentor because they genuinely do want a mentor. Mm-hmm. But I think what's going to remain true is some of our students who have asked for a mentor who are now paired with you are still not going to reach out until the moment they need help.
That's fair.
Hopefully we're seeing that less and less this year. And I'll add, we want to hear from you as you get started to hear how this is going, because it is new. But, you know, if you reached out once a week ago, you reached out at twice, 2 weeks ago, whatever it is, still give it a little bit of time here. Because as we get deeper into FAFSA season, as we get more towards college enrollment next fall and high school graduation, I anticipate that many of these students will start connecting. And that's because they have the questions. They need the help. I think sometimes students just don't know what to do when kicking off, when they don't need any help and can't figure out quite what they need.
Yeah. And one piece of advice that I can provide is when you are reaching out to your students, ask them of something that they kind of have to respond to.
Yeah.
Have you filed your FAFSA? We're in a season, just to be frank with mentors, where the FAFSA is less known than it has been in previous years. I think the deadline is as well known, but the fact that the FAFSA has been in the news and is has been redone. It's a new FAFSA. Has a lot of students, we heard on a call recently, that has a lot of students sort of uneasy about filing the FAFSA, to be honest. And so as a mentor, not that you have to be a FAFSA expert at all. We're not expecting you at all to have even any prior knowledge about the FAFSA at all. This is a chance for you to be like, hey, this is a requirement for Tennessee Promise. This is something that you've got to do to go to college this fall. How can I help you file this FAFSA and get this requirement out of the way? And doing so, inspire those students to continue on this post-secondary journey. I think this is a unique year for the mentors to be an encourager around the FAFSA, where in previous years, it's been a little more straightforward from the Tennessee Achieves and high school and even the college's perspective. The FAFSA has been the same for 10 years, and it hadn't changed. The process hadn't changed. Now it's completely new for all of us. And so as a mentor, this is a great chance to sort of flex that encourager muscle, if you will, and be in that space with students and with us, to be honest. We're all still trying to kind of figure it out.
It's a new process this
year. It's going to be great, though. And from what we know, I will say this. I think I sounded kind of negative. The FAFSA, from what we understand from the students' perspective, once they do it, if they're willing to just do it, it's easier. It's better.
We just got to get them there.
You just got to get them logged in.
One more question for you here, Ben, and then I want to touch on a few mentor resources. Approachability has come up in the chat. How can mentors be approachable for students? And I think the broader question here is, should a mentor from day one be focusing on just the action items for Tennessee Promise and going to college? Or should a mentor feel okay to get to know the student on a broader level?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. This is mentoring,
It's not transactional.
It's not a transactional relationship. And it's absolutely, I think, the most advantageous thing a mentor can do is to get to know the student outside of their Tennessee Promise or college expectations. I mentor students in other programs. I've participated with other programs. I've been on the staff at Tennessee Achieves for a decade. And I can tell you the only way I've ever earned the trust of a student is to get to know them in some other capacity other than the Tennessee Achieves expectations. Yep. If I go sit down at a table of students and I'm like, all right, what do you guys think about the FAFSA? They're not going to engage. Yeah. But if I sit down and ask them about some current event or something in pop culture or something about food or something completely unrelated to the college experience, it oftentimes breaks the ice and their guard will come down and then it's a little easier to start building relationships. So I think approachability is being vulnerable in building those relationships. That's key. But also knowing that the more you can build that relationship, the more likely they're going to be to trust you. So this is certainly not just about understanding their college. We want you to know what that student wants to do about college, because that is, at the end of the day, the goal of Tennessee Achieves is to get more students to go to college. But we believe that the method to inspiring students to want to think about going to college is one of the secrets to that success is through positive adult relationships, having relationships with an encouraging adult in their community that is inspiring them to think about that college journey. And the only way to do that is to build those trusted relationships.
Yeah. To talk about you specifically for a minute, I watched Ben do this in real time. And I think this plays out in how you interact with your students. A couple of months ago, we were at one of our meetings and there was a breakout time. And I found Ben seated with a table of guys, and I think they were talking about the weekend's football game. But then that led to a conversation about what careers they were interested in. By the end, they were filling out the values assessment, which for a table full of guys is sometimes tricky. But it plays out well. And I think when you kind of lead by getting to know the student, you set yourself up for success.
Absolutely.
To have that conversation about college, career, and then beyond. So just to kind of jump in now, I want to have a brief conversation about some mentor resources and then address just a couple commonly asked questions and some things I've seen here in the chat. First of all, I've seen the question come up quite a bit in the comments about meeting your students, and that is absolutely the best next step. Now that you've been paired, one of our first recommendations is you carve out time to meet with them. And there's three ways you can do that. You can set up a coffee or lunch outing with your students, or dinner even. I think this is our best recommendation here. Find somewhere near the school, find somewhere that's convenient for the students, and go meet them for coffee or meet them for lunch. And just find a time that works well for both of you. You know, free food is always a great incentive to get students out if you're able.
Yeah, but you're not expected to buy
yes.
their food.
Yeah, yeah. And so that can be a good starting point. You can also reach out to our team. We're happy to reach out to the school and see if we can't coordinate an opportunity for you to go visit for lunch on campus one day.
I think that's the easiest way.
I think so
too. To meet with your students. They're there. They're in the building. So it's not like you have to wait on them or hope they kind of show up, which how cool is it to meet with them at a local coffee shop? I think that's a really cool experience for the student because they get to do something a little different, but that requires them to sort of follow through, where if you go to the high school and we can coordinate with school counselor to facilitate something kind of during their lunch, that almost guarantees attendance.
Yeah.
So
there's some value. Takes a little work off you.
Yeah.
And you can also meet virtually with them. I mean, I understand, you know, I think meeting in person is preferred, to be totally transparent, but totally understand that for some students, meeting over Zoom or over FaceTime or having a
if you can do that, to me, there's a ton of value in both. If you can get an in-person meeting and you sort of set the baseline there and then monthly hop on a Zoom check-in and you're getting that face-to-face interaction, man, that is going to help carry that relationship so much further.
Well, and you know, when you think about it, right, the student might be hesitant to have the in-person meeting to kick things off, but if you get them on a call or you get them talking over the phone, I do think that increases the likelihood that later in the spring or in the summer they do agree to meet at a Starbucks or something. So
but even just doing the Zoom interaction, to me, the students are just so familiar with that technology now. I remember when we first suggested this, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I mean, it was like a foreign language. But now it's just so
simple,
customary that we utilize that sort of technology that the students are oftentimes more advanced in how to utilize the virtual meeting technology than we are. So
yeah, it's true.
Encourage you to use that, and they may be able to help you set that meeting up.
Very true. The other thing I want to touch on here, well, broadly, meet with your students, right? And let us know how we can help you do that.
Yep.
You've got several tools in your toolkit here. And again, just to reiterate, as long as you're meeting your students in a public place, you're doing exactly what we would ask there. And let us know how we can help address any questions you have along the way there. Two resources I really want to plug really quick before we address some FAQs here. First of all, your Monday emails. Every week, we're going to send you an email that is timely and relevant to the program at that given point. And what I mean by that is it's going to have an action item that outlines what you need to be doing at that given week to best support your students. We'll include text templates in there that you can copy and paste or type out to your group. And we will also include webinars and things like this in there. So look out for those Monday emails. And every Monday email also is going to contain a link to Tennessee Achieves Connect. This is something we're going to introduce within the next 2 weeks. We'll have out to you, but that's your mentor portal where you can see in real time where your students stand in the process. So for things like community service, FAFSA filing, college preference, all of that is going to be outlined in real time in Connect. So that'll be included in each of those Monday emails, but be on the lookout for an introduction to that and kind of a guide to what that can do for you, because I'll tell you, that's something we've had for a couple of years now. And I think it's one of the best resources that mentors have available, because it gives you truly like access to all the information you could need to effectively serve your students.
Yeah, I want to reiterate a couple things about that. Just from another edition of this that we hosted, there was a lot of questions about this once we brought it up. So to reiterate what Tyler said, the Tennessee Achieves Connect portal is included in every Monday email that you receive. Mm-hmm. It's at the bottom. There's a button that says access Tennessee Achieves Connect or something along those lines. That will take you to this portal that includes all of your students that you're assigned to for 2024, all of the information that's provided in your student list email that you're going to receive, and then any sort of pertinent updates that we think you need to know about in that season for Tennessee Achieves. So it is a sort of living, breathing portal that we can adjust throughout the spring and into the summer and include information about your students that we think you need to know. So be checking that and utilize that as a resource. It, in my mind, is probably the most valuable resource you have as a Tennessee Achieves mentor, because it gives you a live update as far as how many community service hours they have in the system, what's their status on FAFSA, what college is listed on their FAFSA and their TSAC portal to send their financial aid to. These are oftentimes questions that students will ask a mentor, and it can be answered in Connect. So again, it's accessed in those Monday emails. We will host a webinar specifically about this portal, where you can hop on in a very similar format as this, where we can walk you through exactly how to access that and what it looks like inside of Connect. So just be on the lookout for that. But please let us know if you have any questions about it. But I just wanted to reiterate, we had a ton of questions about it last time when we hosted this.
And on that note, too, with questions, every week we host what we call mentor hours. This is essentially our open office hours style session where myself, Baylor, who's answering questions here today, is basically in a Zoom room for about a half hour each Wednesday, generally, to answer your questions. We don't have any content planned during times like that, but it's just a good chance to talk to our team face to face, get your questions answered, but also build a bit of community around mentorship. We always have a couple mentors in those calls who share best practices, share tips. And I'll tell you, those calls where we get a couple dozen mentors are always so great, because everyone's learning and we're all, and truthfully for our team, it's a great chance to figure out how we can better serve you. So look for that information in your Monday email as well, because we'll share that schedule and we'll let you know how you can join one of those mentor hours sessions.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode of The Mentor Moment. I know this episode was a little unconventional, as it was a recording from a webinar that we'd hosted in February before we decided to create The Mentor Moment, but I think the content is still relevant and can enhance your experience as a Tennessee Achieves mentor. So again, thanks for taking the time to listen to it. And as always, feel free to reach out to us via email at mentors@tnachieves.org. or follow us on social media on all of our handles @TNAchieves. We look forward to seeing you guys soon. Thank you for serving as a volunteer.